I've always wished that I could sing. Tonight, Miss Sue and Miss Stella joined me in that wish. I always feel sorry for whoever's behind. Were y'all really talking about me? You know, they incriminated themselves. I had no idea they were actually talking about how horrible I sing. No, I meant... Okay. All right, let me finish this. I've always wished that I could sing. And now after tonight, I know Miss Stella and Miss Sue wish I could sing as well. That's what I meant. I just need to just focus on preaching, right? Next Sunday, we are doing something that's very important in the life of the church. And it's something that all the members of our church will be involved in. And that is nominating men who are going to serve as deacons at First Baptist Church, Henryville. This is an important time in the life of the church. And it's important that we are prayerfully considering the men that we are going to nominate to serve in this capacity. And so tonight we're going to look at the qualifications for deacons, why we need them, and ultimately, hopefully, informing you and helping you to think clearly and pray for God's leadership in your life in selecting men who are qualified to be deacons. So look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Actually, I want to read chapter 3, verses 1 to verse 13, because I want you to hear there are two offices in the church, and it is elders and deacons. Now, elders are pastors. It says this in verse 1. It says, and I'm throwing a curveball at the men up there. I didn't tell them this, but the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, nor violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must, I love this one. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders. Like unbelievers should think well of a pastor, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight in humility and in thankfulness and in joy, and just rejoice in this body of believers and the work that you're doing in the life of this church. And God, just to sit amongst them and sing these hymns, God, just it stirs my affection for you, and I thank you for each and every one of them, God. And I just pray tonight as we prepare to take part in something that you've instructed us from your word to do and nominate men from amongst us to serve as deacons. God, I just pray tonight that you help us to think through that and to understand what it means to be a deacon and why these qualifications are there, and I just pray that we be led by your Spirit as we pray through this, God, that each person be praying about who you would have us to nominate and who you would have to serve in this capacity amongst us, Lord. And I just pray tonight that you would anoint me to preach as a dying man to dying people. And as always, that I love it when you do things like this. If there's someone here tonight that doesn't know you, that even through a message about the qualifications of a deacon, that they would be brought to conviction and to faith in Christ, God, for your word is powerful. And we pray all these things in Christ's name, for his sake and for his glory. Amen. So, before I really get into the qualifications, I always like to talk about why we have deacons, where they came from, where they're first mentioned in the Bible. And you know, we find that in Acts. Acts chapter 6, there we have an issue going on in the life of the church. And there's some people who are being neglected. What you find is in the book of Acts, in the early days, the church is exploding. It's growing. That's a good thing, right? For the church to be growing and God to be moving. And so people were being neglected. Not on purpose, but people were being neglected. And so the pastors, they noticed this. They recognized this. It's brought to their attention. And so in Acts 6, verse 1, it says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution." So, you know, they're being neglected, being overlooked, and they're Greeks. They're not Jews, and well, there are Jews. They're not Hebrews. They're being neglected, and so there's a complaint that rises, and so the pastors are saying, "Well, how do we deal with this?" And so they call a business meeting. First ever business meeting right there in your Bible is they call the whole number of the disciples together. It says in verse 2, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." So they recognize that if they're doing this work, serving the tables and ministering and making sure those are not neglected, you know, they recognize, well, when am I going to study? When am I going to spend time in prayer in preparation to actually stand up in front of the people and preach the word? And so they called this meeting to deal with these issues. And look at verse 3, they come up with a solution. It says, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." Now, this verse is instructing the church to pick men from amongst them who have the stamp of God's Spirit upon their lives, that they are men who are going to serve well as deacons, who are men who have a certain quality about them that every man of God should have, all right? So if for whatever reason you're not a deacon, it doesn't mean that you are dismissed from looking like this. It's just the instruction for the church. When you look around and you're picking men to fulfill these roles, you should look for men who are filled with the Spirit, men who are believers, men who have a passion for God, men who are full of wisdom to appoint to this duty. And so the Apostle Paul, when we get to 1 Timothy chapter 3, he's just repeating this and giving detail to what a deacon should look like. It's important that the men who are serving the church, not only as pastors, but also as pastors, should be men of God, should be men that have the mark of God upon their lives, men that you can see have been set apart for ministry. And so it is with deacons. Deacons should be men who have that stamp of God upon their lives, and you see them already serving in this capacity. So when you're looking around and you're praying and you're thinking about who is to be a deacon amongst you, what you're doing is you're looking for men who are already doing the work of a deacon, even though they've not got the title. You don't have to have the title of deacon to serve people, to minister to people, to be a minister of unity, to be someone who's helping to meet needs. So you're looking for men who are already doing the work of a deacon, but have these qualities. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 8, as we look and see that being a deacon is not a popularity contest. It's not, you're not looking for the guy that makes sure to say hey to you every time you come to church. Though that is, deacons do that kind of stuff. You're not here to vote for somebody who is, to nominate somebody that's necessarily one of your good friends. If they don't meet these qualities, you should not nominate them. And so verse 8 says this, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. So Paul's first qualification for a deacon, it's in the positive form. In other words, this is how he should act. This is what he should look like. He's going to follow it up with some negative ones, which are, this is what he should not be doing. This is what he should not look like. So the first one is in a positive, in talking about how he is to act. He should be a man of dignity. It's not a word that you hear much in our day. To be a man of dignity is to be someone who's worthy of honor. To be someone who that has the character of godliness in him. He's not someone that is known to be a troublemaker. He's not someone that's known to rant and rave. He's someone who has control of himself. And we'll see that self-controlled as Paul describes it. He's just a man of dignity. You don't have to look and try to figure out. It's just apparent. You know, this is a man who's filled with wisdom, who is filled with love, who exemplifies Christ in the way that he acts. You know, they don't gossip. You don't hear them cursing. They're men who are marked by godliness. That doesn't mean that they don't fall down, okay? Doesn't mean they don't have a bad day. So when you look at the qualifications for a deacon, it's not what marks their life. So their life is marked by being a dignified man, by being a man worthy of honor. Their lives are lived in such a way that when you're around them, you're stirred up to live more godly. When you're around them, that you'll be convicted. I really need to have more compassion for God's people. I need to they just stir you up in that way. And so Paul, as he moves into the negative qualities that he shares, he says, the next one says that these men shouldn't be double-tongued. Double-tongued can carry different meanings, but they're not talking out of both sides of their mouths. They're not saying one thing to you and one thing to another person. They're not liars. They're men that they give you their word, you can trust them. They're men of integrity. And I use all these words. They're just godly men. They're men who are there when they tell you they're going to be there. They're men that are going to strive to tell the truth even if it hurts them. They're not double-tongued. Deacon is honest. The next thing Paul says is that he must not be addicted to much wine. I know that some would like for this to say, don't drink, but have to preach the Bible as it comes. It says that they're not addicted to much wine. And what this means is that they're not known as drinkers. They're not addicted to it. They're not enslaved to it. They're not controlled by any substance. They're men who walk in freedom. The next thing Paul says is that they shouldn't be greedy for dishonest gain. They're not lovers of money. These deacons in the early church, they were responsible for making sure everybody's needs were met. Everybody's needs were taken care of, which meant their hands always in the cookie jar. They can take anything they want. They can abuse their power at the drop of a hat. They're taking care of the daily distribution. Paul's saying these guys can't be greedy for gain. They're going to fall. They're going to take. They're going to sin. These have to be men that are not greedy for dishonest gain. They're not going to take advantage of people. The next thing Paul says in verse 9 is that they must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. What does that mean? Well, men who serve as deacons, and I want to reiterate this, even men who don't serve as deacons, all believers, both men and women, should be this way. But Paul's really careful to spell out the qualifications for a pastor and the qualifications for a deacon is because in all reality, we take it really seriously, and Paul takes it really seriously because these are the men and the families that we're holding up before the congregation going, hey, here's some people you can look at and model your life after. How they act is how you should act. How they live is how you should live. The way they study and understand, grow in their understanding of the Bible is how you should. So it's very important that deacons are modeling and holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. In other words, their lives back up what they preach. They're able to tell you about Jesus. They're men who love God. Deacons are men who strive to know the Word of God. Look at verse 10. And let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. It says let them be tested. You know, we don't let men serve as deacons unless they've been members of our church for a year. For this very reason, we want to see their lives live. We want them to be tested. And what it means by tested is that you get to see, as we love each other and we grow together, we get to see how each other acts. You want to know who a man really is? Let some bad things happen in his life, and you get to see. You get to see how he responds to negativity. You get to see how he responds to someone disagreeing. You get to see how he deals with death in the family. You get to see how he deals and loves on others when they're going through hardships and trials. Be tested. And that's why I say that when you're nominating somebody for deacon, you should see them already doing the work of a deacon. You should already see them ministering and loving and visiting and taking care of and making sure people aren't neglected. It's as our church grows, I am finding it to be more and more difficult not to let people fall by the wayside, because I can't do it all. And I'm thankful for deacons that, you know, are doing it with me, who are going out and visiting, who are being involved in the watch care of the flock, because without them, it's impossible. And so as we grow, guess what? We need more deacons, more men who are going to be committed to watching out and taking care of and doing the work of ministry. And so men that are tested. And when it says prove themselves to be blameless, it doesn't mean that they don't sin, all right? It doesn't mean that they're perfect. It means that these qualifications that we're talking about, they are clearly the mark of their life. Doesn't mean that they slip and the hammer hits their thumb, and though they should not, but there's possibly an expletive may come out. That doesn't mean, you're disqualified. But if these expletives are flying out all the time, clearly that's not the man who's qualified to be a deacon. And so it's the mark of their life. Paul says in verse 11, this is how important it is. Their wives also, likewise, must be dignified. So Paul's so careful that he includes their wives in this. If a deacon has all these qualifications, but yet his wife does not, he's disqualified. He's disqualified just on the basis that he's not leading his wife, and we're even going to see children, to be dignified, to be women of God, to hold them accountable and say, hey, you know what, you shouldn't be cursing that lady out for cutting you off. It's not Christian. It's not good. I'm just giving you some outlandish examples. They're men who lead their wives in godliness. Their wives should be dignified. They should be women of honor, not slanderers. They're not cutting people down behind their backs. They're not talking about people behind their backs. They're edifiers. They're building people up. they're women of God. I mean, it sums it up. They're women of God. They're women who love the Word. They're women who love God's people. Okay? And if we love God's people, then we edify. We stir. We hold accountable, right? Somebody clearly is sinning in front of you, we go and say, hey, man, that's not helpful. We say it to their face. We hold them accountable to their face. Say, look, I love you. You know, and it's not helpful for you to be cursing that lady out when she cuts you off. It's not helpful for you to throw a fit at the ball field. We want to reach people with the gospel, but we don't do it behind their backs. We love them, and so we go to them. And so they're not slanderers. They're not backbiters. They're sober-minded and faithful in all things. What's that mean, faithful in all things? It means they're at church every time the doors is open. Just joking. We all should be striving to do that, right? But faithful in all things is that they're just women of faith. Just like their husbands, they're women of faith. They love the Lord and they want to be faithful to do everything that God places in their path to do. Okay? They're helpful. So as you're thinking about that, you know, these are the qualifications that you're looking for. He says that deacons, in verse 12, let deacons each be the husband of one wife. He's a one-woman man. He's committed to his wife. He's not looking at magazines he shouldn't be looking at. He's not surfing on the internet looking at things he shouldn't be looking at. He's not flirting with women at work. His affections are for his wife. He's committed to her. And you can see it in the way he lives and acts and breathes. He's not whistling at women as they go by. He's not staring at them. You can see it. He's committed. He loves his wife and he's committed to her. He's faithful to her. He's a one-woman man. It goes on to say, also, managing their children and their own households well. Has anybody ever seen a perfect dad? I know, Alan's going to say me. Hey, newsflash, we're all failures in some way or sense. You know, and you don't think so, ask your children for a report card. They will let you know real quick. We're striving, a deacon and a deacon's wife, a pastor and a pastor's wife, they are striving to raise their children up in fear of the Lord. Holding their children accountable for sin, you know. Being those kind of parents that aren't just pastoring or leading with laws and regulations, but they're pastoring to the heart of their children. They're leading their children by their hearts. And, you know, this is the kind of man that a deacon is. And it says the same about a pastor. How can he pastor the church of God if he can't even lead his wife and children? I mean, that's a legitimate question, right? If you look behind me and my marriage is falling apart, my children are just all over the place in their sinfulness and how they respond to people, they're hateful, they're mean-spirited. I mean, if you look back and see that behind me, why in the world would you want me to be your pastor? You wouldn't, right? And so it is with deacons. Their children are just, they're not perfect. They're not going to be perfect. They're not always going to mind. But they're not children that are marked by wickedness and, you know what I mean, just constant mean-spirited rebelliousness. They're held accountable. They know better. But it's not a one-time thing, right? So if you say, well, I think somebody won't get mad. Paul's a pastor. He can take it. If you see Tyler Hope, who's his son, one time go off on somebody, doesn't mean you show up at the next business meeting and go, hey, you know what? Paul's disqualified from being a deacon or a pastor. I saw his kid go off on somebody. You can have a bad day. We have bad days, right? It's just not what marks their lives. So I don't want you to listen to this sermon and go, well, I'm going to tell you what, there ain't nobody in here that, because we won't have any deacons, and we need deacons, all right? We just need men whose lives are marked in this way. We need men whose wives' lives are marked in this way. We need men whose children, their lives are marked in this way. And it's to protect the church as we move forward in ministering and striving to minister to the entire flock. Amen? And so, Sunday, we're going to be nominating deacons. You're going to be writing down men on a piece of paper that you believe are qualified, and you believe that the Lord is leading you to write down their names. And it is a glorious thing when we are going through those names and the same men have 50 people nominate them. Because it just shows that your church is praying. They're taking the Bible seriously, and they're not just writing down names to be writing down names. They understand that before God, even though it's anonymous when you write down these names, God knows what you're writing down. He knows whether you're taking this seriously. He knows whether you're praying about it. And I always tell people, if you've not prayed about who to write down, please don't write anybody down. You pray about it. And if you're not going to pray about it, don't write anybody down. Because this is a serious and grave matter as we move forward as a church, that we understand what a deacon looks like, and that's the men that we want serving in our local church. And every man should be striving to look like this. Every one of them. And every woman should be striving to look like this, to be faithful in all things. And so tonight we're going to just pray over that process and pray over the men that God would have us to nominate and to serve in this capacity. And, you know, you'll be allowed to write down a certain amount of names. Is that right? But you don't have to write down but one if that's all you feel is. Yeah, I think it's, I forget how many you can write down. Forgive me. I'm looking at Miss Della because I think she's going to spout out the answer. She's going to leave me hanging. But, okay, is it as many as you want? Is that how it goes? Anyway, you can write down 50 names. But I don't want you to write down 50 names unless you truly have prayed about it and God has led you to write down 50 names that of men that are qualified. We're going to pray over that. And then I'll say what we're going to do next. We're not going to leave after we pray. We got one more thing that we're going to do, and I want to speak into it before we do it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come to you tonight, and we're so thankful for your grace and your mercy, and thankful that you didn't leave us to these to just kind of be in the dark as to who we're supposed to, you know, nominate as deacons and pick as deacons and pastors even. And God, that you give us instruction, that you've set the bar high. And I'm so thankful for that, Lord, because I know that that bar being up there, the only reason or way that we can attain to it is by your grace and through your mercy, God, that you are working in us to be those kind of men. And we are so thankful for what you are doing in the life of our church, God, that we're not going through the process of deacons just to replace, not deacons, but the fact that we need more. We need more to be able to fulfill the call that you've placed on our lives to minister. And you know, I pray even for the deacons we already have, that we are continuing to take this calling seriously, that we're not just in it as an office, but that it's our calling, that we're passionate about ministering to the flock that you called us to as men who are going to give account to you one day. Now, I pray for these men who are going to be nominated, that they're thinking the same way about this office, that they're going to be serious about fulfilling their calling, that it won't just be an office, but it's a calling that they're going to be passionate about. And I just pray for our people as we seek you on this matter, Lord. I pray that you would lead us, that you would open our eyes to see, and that we would, you know, really take seriously the responsibility to pick out from among us men who are of good repute, men who are filled with the Spirit of God, who have your stamp upon their lives. And I just pray, God, that Sunday that we would just see your Spirit move and work in our hearts and lives as we do this, as we nominate. And just thank you for what you're doing in the life of our church, and that we need more men to serve in this capacity, God. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for it. It's in Christ's name. Amen. All God's people said. So I'm going to ask.